back to the studios as my guest co-hosts, Bobby and Thomas from Wild Planet Radio. Welcome back to the show, guys.
Hello, hello.
Thank you. This is Thomas. It's so great to be back.
I'm so excited to have you guys here in the studio with me. And tonight we're going to be hearing an update from Wild Planet Radio, as well as we'll be speaking with Barbara, who is the executive director of the Q Center. So we'll be getting updates about Wild Planet Radio, as well as what's going on at the Q Center these days. And in the second half of the show, we'll be featuring This Way Out, which is the international gay and lesbian news magazine. Now, Thomas, what do we have in store for the music samples on tonight's show?
We brought a couple of Wild Planet favorites. These artists are going to be also performing with us throughout our Radio to You tour, and then hopefully following us right on into Pride. So today we brought three samples. I think we can probably get through all of them. The Sex Box, the track One, The Only Thing, Jeremiah Clark, Understood. Jeremiah also did an in-studio performance with us for one of our live performances on Tuesday, which was an amazing performance. And also, last but certainly not least, Logan Lynn and We Can't Stop, his track number three. Logan has had success up and down and all around, serving our community proud. So these are great tracks, and we're very happy to share this music from Wild Planet Radio.
That's very exciting. So listeners, stay tuned. We'll be featuring, again, some music thanks to our guests who are from Wild Planet Radio. And if you don't know about Wild Planet, let me just tell you their website, wildplanetradio.com. And we'll be hearing a lot more from Bobby and Thomas, as well as those music samples during the show this evening. Now, before we move on to a music break, I just want to let you know how to connect with us online. We love hearing from our listeners. Our email address is outloudradio@gmail.com. If you connect on Twitter or Facebook, you can find us there as well. Both on Twitter and Facebook, look for KBOO Out Loud, and you can connect with us there. Now, we'll be back in just a few moments to hear more from Bobby and Thomas, and we'll be welcoming Barbara here in the studios. But let's take a short music break. This band is titled The Sex Bots, and the song is titled The Only Thing. Okay, great.
Okay.
Welcome back to Out Loud, the Queer Culture Radio Show. That song was titled The Only Thing. The artist's name was Sex Bots, and the album is titled Junk Sick. So I'd like to welcome back into the studios. We have both Bobby and Thomas here with us. These two guys are the creative masterminds behind Wild Planet Radio, and it's great to have you back as our guest co-hosts. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Thank you. This is Thomas, and it is always nice to be here, Carla. Doing a great job, as always.
Right on. So what's going to happen next?
You know, we are so excited to have Q Center's Executive Director, Barbara McCullough-Jones, here with us. Barbara, welcome.
Thank you, Thomas, from Bobby and Carla. It's great to be back at KU.
We really wanted to invite you in, you know, when we had this opportunity to co-host, so we could interview you and you could tell, you know, the world a little bit about Q Center, you know, what you guys are involved in, maybe some of the programs and kind of what's happening in the house and then also out in the community.
Sure. Well, first of all, I think certainly one of our newest and most exciting programs and collaborations is with Wild Planet Radio.
Woohoo!
And just to watch you guys blossom in that project and bring your passion to something like radio, which is such a great medium for our community, has just been really rewarding to be a part of making, a very small part, mind you, of making that happen, because it's really been your energy and your ideas and your passion. And congratulations.
Thank you so much. But Barbara, I can also say, you know, for us, we've said it, I think, 100,000 times since we made the best decision by partnering with you all. You've been nothing but supportive, guiding us, you know, straight through. So that's why it was so important for us to be able to invite you here today. So you could let everyone else know, you know, how they can be a part of the Q Center, what Q Center has, what has it become, and what it's offering. Because I mean, I can tell people by being there every day, I'm always inspired to do a better job at the radio station because of the hard work that you all are doing. So yes.
Right. So, you know, doing the radio project with you all was a great fit for us. We program in four core areas. And the radio fits into one of the very first ones that Q Center started with, and that's arts and culture. And that is all about celebrating the many ways in which art manifests the LGBTQ experience, as well as expresses the culture of our community. We have an art gallery in the building on site. That room does double duty, as many of our staff and volunteers do. The space does the same thing. We all have wear multiple hats, but really the gallery, the Aaron Hall Gallery, is such a great way for local artists, sometimes national artists, to bring in all kinds of artwork, whether it's fine art, sculpture, photography, whatever, really the way that they express.
And there's a pretty big show that Wild Planet Radio is supporting this Thursday for...
Yes.
Bobby?
It's Pablito, the Art of Pablito. He's having his closing reception there at 5:00.
Portland Plugged In has decided to join the Wild Planet team by inviting guests, so it should be a great experience. So yes, the art gallery is amazing. Yes. And so with us, with Wild Planet Radio, you've started your own radio program called Inquisitive, where you'll be visiting our airwaves every now and then. Is that
right? So Inquisitive is really an extension of a program that was up and running already. And previous to going on air with that program, it was a one-on-one interview format. It's the only program, if you will, that I actually get to do as a staff member at Q Center. Otherwise, I'm pretty much behind the scenes, but this one, they let me out of my room for a
while. That's great, and you get to come visit us.
Yeah, I get to come visit you guys, and I get to interview one-on-one, just really people of interest that ordinary folks would not necessarily otherwise have a chance to have that conversation. And so we try and bring all of that to a broad audience as possible. I know there's been a couple times we've actually done live remotes with KBOO and the Inquisitive show. I think the last one we did was with Kevin Pillau when we talked. Do you remember that, Carla? It was mm-hmm. just before the holidays, about a year ago.
Right, and we had a packed house. It was a great turnout. Gosh. I think we also did the mayoral forum way back when we were choosing our now current mayor. So
we did.
We try to show up, you know, KBOO doing live broadcasts. So
it's a great experience. And that mayoral forum really speaks to one of our other four core areas, which is advocacy. You know, when we did that mayoral forum, Q Center's forum was the only one that invited each and every mayoral candidate. Most of the other debates, if you will, the forums, only invited the top three, the ones who really had the financial resources to make a viable run at it. But we feel so strongly, and that's why we partnered with the radio show, that every voice matters. Every voice matters.
And I can say that's the same for us, is that we saw within your structure that you have invited every community group to feel safe so they can come together and share their stories. And then you have a variety of activities, from older services to baby services to new services. That's exactly what the radio was looking involved in. So we've talked a little bit about our program, of course. What are some of the other programs that you currently support? I mean, you guys are involved in quite a bit of things at QCR.
Sure. So you mentioned the older clients that we have. Senior community, which we provide a lot of activities,
yes.
and they're at Q Center. We also collaborate with other organizations like Friendly House to provide services to our senior community. We have a Meals on Wheels program every Thursday afternoon.
Wow.
So folks can come and get a hot meal and some socialization. We know that we have better health when we are less isolated, and that's really a major goal of that food program.
My favorite is the movies on Wednesdays, yes, with the homemade popcorn for the elders, and everyone can sneak in, and then those rainbow babies that come to visit. It's the neatest thing.
I love it because you don't necessarily know it's movie afternoon until you start smelling the popcorn.
Yeah,
and then
sure.
All of a sudden everybody starts migrating down the hall and we get caught up in that. But the rainbow babies is a parent child play group that meets every Tuesday morning at 10 and then twice a month on Saturdays.
It's so great.
It's kids 3 and under, just again learning ways to interact with humanity here.
So Wild Planet Radio is noticing, you know, so many famous people coming out and standing forward, you know, it's saying that they're part of this world, including athletes. And so we've been thinking about, you know, which direction we would be going to support that. And we were excited to hear that you have announcements to make of new program that Q Center is going to be presenting. Would you mind telling us a little about that?
Oh, great. I love our sports program. You know, I always tell folks I'm a pre-Title IX sports dyke.
Yeah.
Some people know what that means, but I'm amazed when I see the glint in someone's eye. Title IX? What's that? And I thought, oh, baby.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
That's a baked potato bar right
let's
there.
Let's educate on that one. So, but Q Sports is our motto is, it doesn't matter how you move, just that you get moving. And it is one of the programs in our third core area, which is health and wellness, and the way that we take care of ourselves, the way we take care of each other in community is really what Q Sports is about. So it's part celebration of all the sports teams and sports leagues that the LGBT community supports. We have everything from professional women's football, full-on pads,
wow.
Helmet, tackle, the opposition
I want
football.
To be a cheerleader for Wild Planet.
Right. To, you know, all the way to a very sophisticated tennis organization, Rose City Softball, which is one of the largest LGBT sports organizations.
So Barb, really, what's the easiest way? I mean, one to follow through the Q Center's website and all the blogging you do. I mean, you guys do a great job of sending information out to millions of people, which is amazing, even to us, that has a voice. It's a great. But how can people be a part of these programs? How can they sign up? How can they support these programs if they can't be there? I mean, is that those systems all set up so they just go through a program, they can donate, they can...
Oh, absolutely. So you're exactly right, Thomas. The website is the best way to hook up. There, for each of the programs, there's contact information for the person coordinating that. Sometimes it's a staff person. Sometimes it's a lead volunteer. And that's another great way to get into connectedness with Q Center, is to be a volunteer.
Right.
And all of that can be found on our website, which is at pdxqcenter.org. All spelled out, .org, .org. And go on there. There's a volunteer section. There's a section about each and every one of our programs to get involved.
And there's also a way for people to financially support Q Center and all that you have involved and all that you all do, is by simply donating through your website.
Absolutely. That would be the big green button on the upper right-hand corner.
Look for
the
green button and then go to Wild Planet
it says,
Radio.
Donate now.
Look for the green button and then go to Wild Planet Radio.
There you go. That's right. But no, financial support is critical.
Yes.
To our continued programs.
And you can see how resourceful everyone is by, you know, you guys really do take each step, and you take each gift that someone uses you, and you use it to the best, and you share it with each of your programs. I mean, we've received quite a few paper clips and whatever, fun red chairs for our studio, you know, lots of things, as well as giving us access to your office. So it is important to support these programs. It is important to support the Q Center, and come down and see it. Come down and check it out. Come down and really be a part of the art gallery of the different events that they're fundraising, or even the information, because I can bear witness. I'm there every day doing this radio project with them, and it's a lot of fun. A lot of great things going on. A lot of inspiration.
Now, if folks don't know where Q Center is located, let's get that physical address.
Sure.
This is Bobby, sorry.
Sure. Thanks, Bobby, for that question. That's always forget about that one. So we are in the historic Mississippi District. We are at 4115 North Mississippi Avenue, just across the bridge, and very easy to find. We're one of the few businesses on Mississippi Avenue that have a handful of parking spaces, so if you're one of the lucky ones that gets that, but we have plenty of parking in the neighborhood. We have great relationships in the neighborhood where Q Center is located, and we're part of Mississippi Avenue Business Association. The Boise Neighborhood Association meets at Q Center. The Portland Area Business Association is a tenant in Q Center space, and so they often hold a lot of their meetings there as well.
And I should say it's easily accessible by transit. The number four bus, right out front in the yellow line on the MAX, just across the way, just down Skidmore.
Barb, thank you so much for telling us about the programs and then your relationships and all the hard work that you're doing. I'd like to take just a quick music break. We're going to hear a track from Jeremiah Clark, Understood. And when we come back, I'd like to hear about some of these fun events that Q Center has coming up. So
excellent.
Here's a music break from Jeremiah Clark with Understood.
I will be who I will be proud of it. I will make the most of every moment. There's no reason I should feel defeated just because the way that I'm treated. I will lift up my head, I will look to the sky. I will do what I need to live out my life. There's no benefit for not attempting, and I will never go back to pretending. I will be his man, I will stand by him, we will do it. judgment. I don't see the reason it's offensive. I don't feel the need to be censored. I will hold his hand, I will kiss his face. We will do these things in a public place. I won't waste all of my time guessing whether or not I have your blessing. And I don't need to be understood. And I don't care if you think I should, because I can be contained in this box you place around me, the walls it is surrounding. I just don't want to be loved like you. And I don't think I should have.
Welcome back to Out Loud, the Queer Culture Radio Show on KBOO. That song that we were just listening to is titled Understood from Jeremiah Clark. And for those that did not know yet, Jeremiah Clark is going to be performing as part of the Portland Pride coming up in June. So we'll be hearing more from Jeremiah Clark live here in Portland. I'd like to hand the conversation back over to Bobby and Thomas from Wild Planet Radio. Gentlemen.
Thank you. This is Thomas.
Hi, this is Bobby again.
And as promised, we are also still here with Barbara McCullough Jones. Mm-hmm. And before the break, I asked Barbara if we could go over just a little bit about their next event that's coming up. I'm really excited about it. Maybe she could announce a little bit, and then how, if at all, you could be a part of this.
Sure. Our next event is March 29th, which is a Saturday, and it's our annual gala festival. It's a masquerade party in the reminiscent of the Garden of Good and Evil out of the New Orleans fame. So we're very excited about that. It is our largest annual fundraiser. The tickets for the dinner themselves are all sold out, but we have after party tickets available. Those are only $25. And frankly, that makes it the most affordable community event that Portland offers. $25. Food, bar, you get to dance the night away. We literally had to throw people out last year. It lasted so long.
From what I understand, you have a pretty hot DJ that will be there on the set. We were very impressed as well, Planet Radio, to see who you'd picked. And we also can see how hard you're working. So we're definitely going to be there. Where can other people find out how to get tickets for that after hours party?
Yeah, visit our website, pdxqcenter.org. You can sign up for our newsletter, which comes out about once a week, as well as information through our blog. We relaunched our website a year ago, and since then, in the past year, our website has received over 13 million hits.
Hooray!
About 150,000 unique visitors. So our reach is really picking up steam.
Barbara, I wanted to thank you so much for being our guest today, and I just wanted to give one quick announcement about Wild Planet Radio and all the fun success we're having. We are still on our Radio to You tour, hitting events left and right. We'll be at Embers March 22nd, hosting with the Caravan of Glam, a great show, live music, and my favorite, it's going to be our Tapas Tuesday on March 25th, the last day of our Indiegogo fundraising campaign. We've got bands, music,
comedy,
vodka,
belly dancers,
giveaways. Honestly, anything you can think of, it's probably going to be there. It will be Portland's best spring break party, March 25th, Trio Club with Wild Planet Radio.
Right on. And so we need to say goodbye to our in-studio guests this evening. My name is Carla. I want to say thank you so much for listening. And a huge thank you to Bobby and Thomas from Wild Planet Radio for being my guest co-hosts this evening. And another thank you to Barbara from the Q Center. Now, for more information, if you did not catch, that was a lot of details that we just shared. The Q Center's website is pdxqcenter.org. And you can find more information also at wildplanetradio.com. And you can also find out more about this radio show, kboo.fm/outloud. And tune in. You're going to be hearing at 7 o'clock. We're going to be bringing you The Melting Pot, which is a schedule change for us here at KBOO. But stay tuned for an awesome mix of music here in studio at 7 p.m. this evening. Right now, we're going to switch gears for a moment, and we're going to move into an international gay and lesbian news magazine called This Way Out. And again, I want to say, before we say goodbye, I want to say thank you for listening. Until next time, stay proud and live out loud.
Do you personally dislike homosexuals?
Of course, they are disgusting.
Senate Bill 1062 does not address a specific or present concern related to religious liberty.
The governor of Arizona is being bullied. She's being bullied by the homosexual lobby in Arizona and elsewhere.
They are jackbooted homo fascist thugs.
Other states considering similar legislation are going to rethink whether this is actually a good political move.
It is starting to look like this one's over.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Courts in Zimbabwe and Zambia each acquit leading LGBT activists. Museveni defends the so-called science behind Uganda's anti-homosexuality law, but Arizona's bias license gets a gubernatorial no. Those stories and more this week, because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Jason Proctor.
And I'm Natalie Peebles.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending March 1st, 2014. We begin with some rare good news for sexual minorities in Africa. A magistrate this week threw out a case brought by the government of Zimbabwe against a leader of the country's leading LGBT advocacy group. Martha Tholana, co-director of GALS, Gays and Lesbians of Zimbabwe, was accused of operating the group without registering it under the Private and Voluntary Organizations Act. Police raided the GALS offices in Harare in August 2012, confiscating laptops, DVDs, and other property based on an anonymous tip that the group was engaged in questionable activities. Zimbabwe's High Court had already ruled that GALS was not required to register under the Organizations Act. Magistrate Donald Ndirwe said this week that he did not want his decision in the specific case against Tholana to contradict that ruling.
A prominent gay activist in Zambia was also acquitted this week. In his case, the charge was soliciting for immoral purposes. Paul Kasonkamona was arrested last May following a live television appearance during which he argued that private, consensual, adult gay sex should be decriminalized to further Zambia's fight against HIV/AIDS. Convictions under current law can bring up to 14 years in prison. But a magistrate ruled this week that the government had failed to prove its case that Kasonkamona was promoting homosexuality. The activist called his acquittal a landmark judgment and told Agence France-Presse that he would continue to speak out for the rights of all Zambians.
But the war against LGBT people in Nigeria and Uganda continues unabated. Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan signed an oppressive law in January that criminalizes not only civil marriage for lesbian and gay couples, but any individual or group that advocates for LGBT rights, and even public displays of affection between same-gender couples. Escalating assaults on perceived-to-be-gay men have been reported across the country. Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni signed his country's equally draconian Anti-Homosexuality Act into law on February 24th. In addition to also banning civil marriage for same-gender couples, one of the law's most notorious provisions punishes repeat convictions for private, consensual, adult gay sex with life in prison. Homosexuality remains against the law in most other countries on the African continent, including Ugandan's western neighbor Kenya. On the heels of passage of the anti-gay laws in Nigeria and Uganda, several Kenyan lawmakers and clerics are now calling for similar legislation. Activist Dennis Nzokia told Gay Star News that politicians will use any means to make sure they are elected, and nothing is more of an issue than homosexuality. There's a lot of anti-American European sentiment at the moment, he added. Especially because Russia has been so vocal on its anti-gay stance, the politicians think, we don't need Americans, we don't need Europeans, we can focus on other countries for help.
In the relatively more hospitable Middle Eastern nation of Jordan, however, 10 LGBT people that authorities said were attending a get-to-know-each-other gathering at a party hall in East Amman were arrested late this week. A security official reportedly said that the arrests were made to prevent a disturbance of the peace, although no specific disturbing the peace violations were cited. Homosexuality is not illegal in the conservative desert kingdom, but it is generally an unspoken social taboo. A recent human rights report by the U.S. State Department said that in Jordan, legal and societal discrimination and harassment remain a problem for women, religious minorities, religious converts, and members of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community.
Elsewhere, and just days after the Winter Olympics closing ceremonies in Sochi, the Russian LGBT Sports Federation tried to launch the Open Games in Moscow. More than 200 athletes from 11 countries were expected to compete this week in events ranging from skiing and basketball to table tennis. But a bomb threat forced Federation leaders and the honorary Games ambassador, out Olympic diving champ Greg Louganis, to move a kickoff media conference from inside a gay night spot to the building parking lot. Organizers were also scrambling for alternatives after being told at the last minute by three venues and a hotel, each with different reasons, that they would no longer be able to host participants or their respective events. According to the English-language Moscow Times, a man who identified himself as a Federal Security Service employee set off a smoke bomb that prematurely ended the basketball part of the games. Organizers called it a belatedly failed attempt to intimidate the owners of the facility. And soon after games participants arrived at a public skating rink, the venue's management announced that all skaters had to leave because of technical problems with the ice. But Games Honorary Ambassador Greg Louganis echoed other participants in their determination to create a successful event. He said he still planned to participate in the table tennis competition.
The Southwest states of Arizona and Texas vied for top U.S. queer news story this week. After days of anticipation and with the eyes of the nation upon her, Arizona's conservative Republican Governor Jan Brewer vetoed a so-called religious freedom bill that would have sanctioned discrimination against LGBT people by businesses and individuals based on sincerely held religious belief. Brewer said in her veto announcement that after hearing from both sides of the issue, she came to the conclusion that
Senate Bill 1062 does not address a specific or present concern related to religious liberty in Arizona.
Several prominent Republicans, including Arizona Senator John McCain, three Republican state lawmakers who had actually voted for the bill, and even failed presidential candidate Mitt Romney, applauded Brewer for vetoing the measure. We'll have a lot more on this story later in the program. And the day after Brewer's veto announcement, the city council in Tempe unanimously made it the latest municipality in Arizona, joining Tucson, Flagstaff, and Phoenix to ban anti-LGBT bias in housing, employment, and public accommodations.
On the same day of Brewer's announcement, February 26th, a federal judge in Austin ruled that the Texas constitutional amendment defining civil marriage as exclusively heterosexual, overwhelmingly approved by state voters in 2005, was trumped by the U.S. Constitution. District Judge Orlando Garcia wrote that Today's court decision is not made in defiance of the great people of Texas or the Texas legislature, but in compliance with the U.S. Constitution and Supreme Court precedent. Agreeing with a growing number of federal district court decisions since the High Court's DOMA ruling last year, Garcia decided that, without a rational relation to a legitimate governmental purpose, state-imposed inequality can find no refuge in our U.S. Constitution. The judge stayed his decision pending an appeal by the administration of conservative Republican Governor Rick Perry, who complained shortly after the ruling was announced that, "This is yet another attempt to achieve via the courts what couldn't be achieved at the ballot box. We will continue to fight for the rights of Texans to self-determine the laws of our state."
U.S. District Judge John G. Hayburn ruled last month that Kentucky must recognize the marriages of gay and lesbian couples legally contracted in other jurisdictions, and he made that ruling final this week. The state itself banned marriage equality in Kentucky in 1998 and through a subsequent voter-approved constitutional amendment in 2004. Hayburn ruled in February that, "To the extent that state laws deny validly married same-sex couples equal recognition and benefits under Kentucky and federal law, those laws violate the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution, and they are void and unenforceable." The state had asked the judge to stay his ruling for 90 days to allow officials to prepare an appeal. But Hayburn instead this week gave Kentucky officials until March 20th to figure out how to implement it. While Hayburn limited his decision to civil marriages legally performed elsewhere, he seemed to open the door to a direct challenge to the ban in the state, writing that, "It is clear that Kentucky's laws treat gay and lesbian persons differently in a way that demeans them."
And finally, retired U.S. National Football League star and current TV network sports commentator Deion Sanders responded to a question by the host on the syndicated late-night Arsenio Hall show this week about openly gay pro prospect Michael Sam. The top defensive player in the toughest conference in U.S. college football came out last month. Sanders himself played for 5 different teams during his Hall of Fame career and has 2 Super Bowl rings from his time with the San Francisco 49ers and Dallas Cowboys. He told Hall that,
"He's not the first gay guy in the NFL. He's the first one to come out. Let's get that straight. Every team I played on, there was someone."
And did you always know who they were?
Yeah, we always knew, but he was cool. That was our boy. We had to look out for him. Every team I played on, I played on 5 different teams, that was someone gay in the locker room. If he could make plays, he could play the game.
I heard that. I like that too.
That's News Wrap for the week ending March 1st, 2014. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and produced by Steve Pride.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. I'm Jason Proctor.
And I'm Natalie Peoples.
I love you, Arizona. Your mountain, deserts and streams.
They may love it, but does Arizona love its LGBT citizens? We'll try to answer that question later in the program. Uganda's infamous anti-homosexuality bill was signed into law by President Yoweri Museveni on February 24th. Carrying substantial prison terms for consensual adult gay sex, advocacy, or simply failing to report a suspected LGBT person, the new law has drawn harsh criticism from governments and human rights groups around the world. A few countries have already threatened to cut aid to the East African country, but Ugandan gay activists have expressed concerns about the negative effects of economic sanctions. Some LGBTs are trying to escape the country, and at least 8 people have reportedly attempted suicide, 3 of them successfully.
We suddenly had delayed signing the bill because he said he was seeking scientific opinions on the cause of homosexuality. Several members of the committee that the president commissioned to prepare the report on sexual orientation resigned to protest what they charged was misquoting of their work. Could it be that Museveni relied more on information from U.S.-based evangelicals than from his own medical experts? He answered questions about the law, the science, and his personal feelings during an interview with CNN's Zane Verghe on the day he signed the bill.
Many people, even if they may not be the majority, regard it as their right to have free choice in choosing who they love, who they want to have sex with, and don't believe that the state should get involved.
It's not the state, it's the society.
But you signed it into law.
Yes, but I'm acting on behalf of the society. I'm not, it's not just the state, it's the society. And that's why I would like to advise the Europeans and the Western groups.
But what about the equality of an individual, as the Western countries would argue, to have the right to choose what they want for themselves? That just by virtue of being a human being, they have certain human rights, and one of which is to express themselves freely in the way that they choose.
We cannot accept that behaving unnaturally is a human right. I was regarding it as an inborn problem.
A genetic link to homosexuality.
Genetic distortion. That was my argument. But now our scientists have knocked this one out. And once you argue that it is a question of choice, then really you have lost the argument as far as these Ugandans are concerned.
Do you think that by signing the bill, you're taking Uganda backwards?
Not at all, not at all. Uganda is where it has always been. The Uganda have never supported our society since time immemorial, have never supported homosexuals.
What is your message to Western human rights groups, to President Obama,
respect,
to lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people?
Respect African societies and their values. If you don't agree, you just keep quiet. Let's manage our society the way we see. If we are wrong, we shall find out by ourselves. Just the way we don't interfere with yours.
Do you personally dislike homosexuals?
Of course, they are disgusting. What sort of people are they? How can you go? I never knew what they were doing. That's how I've been told recently that what they do is terrible, disgusting. But I was ready to ignore that if there was proof that that's how he's born, abnormal. But now the proof is not there.
Is this about politics more than morality and religion or culture?
Not at all.
There are many critics that have said this is about 2016. This is about the elections, and the majority of people in this country support what you're doing. They support anti-gay legislation.
But why had I refused to sign it? Why had I refused to sign the bill if that was the case? I had refused to sign it because I wanted it, and I was not going to sign it. Maybe they would have changed it for me to sign it until I was confronted by the science, which I demanded from them. You show me whether.
But it's made you very popular, signing this bill, even more so than you are. There are people in this country that would vote for you because of what you did today. The MPs will win their seats because of what you did
today.
That's
not my intention. My intention was the truth, the facts, and what is good for our country, our society.
Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni was interviewed by Zane Verghe on CNN.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis, and you're listening to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine.
Suspense surrounded the U.S. state of Arizona's Senate Bill 1062 as the world waited to hear whether Republican Governor Jan Brewer would sign it into law. If she did, businesses would be able to use violations of religious belief as grounds to deny services to LGBT people, for example. Brewer finally announced her decision at a February 26th press conference.
I'm here to announce a decision on Senate Bill 1062. As with every proposal that reaches my desk, I give great concern and careful evaluation and deliberate consideration, and especially to Senate Bill 1062. I call them like I see them, despite the cheers or the boos from the crowd. I took the necessary time to make the right decision. I met or spoke with my attorneys, lawmakers, and citizens supporting and opposing this legislation. As governor, I have asked questions and I have listened. Senate Bill 1062 does not address a specific or present concern related to religious liberty in Arizona. I have not heard of one example in Arizona where a business owner's religious liberty has been violated. The bill is broadly worded and could result in unintended and negative consequences. After weighing all of the arguments, I have vetoed Senate Bill 1062 moments ago. To the supporters of this legislation, I want you to know that I understand that long-held norms about marriage and family are being challenged as never before. Our society is undergoing many dramatic changes. However, I sincerely believe that Senate Bill 1062 has the potential to create more problems than it purports to solve. I could divide Arizona in ways we cannot even imagine, and no one would ever want. Religious liberty is a core American and Arizona value. So is non-discrimination. Going forward, let's turn the ugliness of the debate over Senate Bill 1062 into a renewed search for greater respect and understanding among all Arizonans and Americans. Thank you.
Governor Jan Brewer's decision to veto SB 1062 was greeted by the religious right with steamy piles of invective against the bill's opponents, who were characterized by American Family Association mouthpiece Brian Fisher as
jackbooted homo fascist thugs. I'm not saying all homosexuals are like that. I'm talking about the homosexual lobby. They don't believe in tolerance. They are jackbooted homo fascist thugs who want to use the tyrannical and totalitarian power of the state to send men of faith to jail. And that frankly sounds a lot more like Nazi Germany than the United States of America.
Then there was syndicated right-wing radio talker Rush Limbaugh, whose own name-calling diatribe would be debunked by internet commentator Cenk Uygur of the Young Turks.
You notice here, folks, how bullying is a good thing? The governor of Arizona is being bullied. She's being bullied by the homosexual lobby in Arizona and elsewhere. She being bullied by the nationwide drive-by media. She being bullied by certain elements of corporate America in order to advance the gay agenda. I guess in that circumstance, bullying is admirable. This bullying business, in fact, nobody's even characterizing it as that. No, we're simply doing the right thing here. We're simply enforcing that which we demand. And if we have to bully, then fine. Because what we want is what counts. What we want is what is.
Has Rush Limbaugh ever said anything that wasn't projection? I mean, all he ever does is bully people. And now he comes out here, having never looked up the dictionary definition of irony or hypocrisy, says, like, can you believe these guys are bullying people, right? And he mentions the homosexual lobby that bullied Governor Jan Brewer. Well, let's take a look at a list of people who might be in that homosexual lobby who have come out in public and urged her to veto this bill. Senator John McCain, Republican Senator Jeff Flake, Steve Schmidt, who was a former McCain senior campaign advisor, Mitt Romney, Newt Gingrich, Matthew Dowd, former Bush campaign strategist, and by the way, state senators Bob Worsley, Adam Driggs, and Steve Pierce, who all voted for the bill and now are urging the governor to veto it in an unbelievable flip-flop. I guess those would be your Republicans in charge of the homosexual lobby.
While the Young Turks host Cenk Uygur took on the rabid right, Wall Street Journal News Hub anchor Simon Constable asked Emory University law professor Timothy Holbrook for his analysis.
The law was designed to allow business owners to refuse to serve LGBT members of the community. It was couched in terms of religious effect, that if you had a strong religious view that was contrary to the lifestyles of LGBT persons, then you could deny service to those individuals.
Okay, now what will be the ripple effect of this? Because Jan Brewer has struck this down saying, look, I haven't seen any instances in Arizona of religious freedom being impinged. So what will be the ripple?
I think other states considering similar legislation, such as here in Georgia, are going to rethink whether this is actually a good political move. I think we now see that trying to use the LGBT issue as a political wedge issue is losing favor. When you see courts in Utah, Texas yesterday, Oklahoma finding a right to marriage equality, it really signifies, I think, a significant change, societal change, in how we view the rights of the LGBT community in the United States.
So when this eventually comes before the Supreme Court, as no doubt it will or it could, I guess, how do you see it playing out? Do you see it playing out as, look, this is just, you know, religious rights are important, but so are inclusion of all members of the community?
I think it will come down to that, particularly when it comes to issues of legal rights. I think that when we stop people from discriminating, we think there's no rational basis for it. We've done this with race in the past. We've done this with religion, in fact. And so I think the idea will be that basically when you're talking about eliminating access or rights to gays and lesbians, that's something that the state is not going to be allowed to justify or sanction. And I think we'll see that.
One of the things, very, very quickly at this, one of the things we've heard about religious institutions is saying, hey, look, you know, we've got a prohibition against promoting gay marriage, and therefore we won't hire gay people. Is that going to be outlawed, do you think? What is your guess? And I realize it is a guess.
Yeah, my guess is no, that there will be some sort of safe harbor for religious institutions that really do have profound teaching against that find lesbian gay community to be engaging in sinful conduct that's contrary to the religious views.
Wall Street Journal News Hub anchor Simon Constable went to Emory University professor Timothy Holbrook for a legal analysis of Arizona's SB 1062. We'll go to MSNBC's Rachel Maddow for a postscript.
We've now seen similar religious freedom / discrimination bills tabled or vetoed or deferred or withdrawn in Kansas and Tennessee and Ohio and Utah and Idaho and Oklahoma and now Arizona and now Georgia and now Mississippi. Nine state governments have been evaluating this type of legislation. In a number of them, it was racing through Republican-dominated legislatures. But in nine states, all of a sudden, just in the last few days, and in some cases just in the last few hours, those states have either decided that it's playing a little too fast and loose with civil liberties, or more likely that they saw the firestorm that was unleashed in Arizona and decided, no thanks, we don't really want to deal with that. It's never over till it's over for things like this, for this experiment in conservative governance. But if these nine states are anything to go by, and nine states is a pattern, it is starting to look like this one's over.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Jason Proctor and Natalie Peoples contributed program material. Thanks also to Steve Pride and Greg Louganis. Julia Kanyomozi and Mark Lindsay performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is made possible by a grant from the Yavanna Foundation and by the generosity of our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org for program, donation, and subscription information, and for podcasts and social media links. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email TWO Radio at AOL.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 2NCR South Lismore, New South Wales, WTND Macomb, Illinois, KUOI Moscow, Idaho, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.
KABU is a proud media co-sponsor of March Music Modern 4 for 2014. Listening to the Here of the Now. Beginning Friday, March 3rd, and running through Sunday, March 16th, 32 events, 20th and 21st century music, concerts, movies, and more. Music by composers from near and far, performed by both local and internationally acclaimed musicians at a variety of venues throughout Portland. Many of these events are free. That's March Music Modern. More information at the KABU homepage under Community Events or at...
What's up, everybody? This is Goddess of Goddess and She, and you're tuning in to KBOO Portland. Holla at your girl.
KABU is a proud media co-sponsor of...
What's up, everybody? This is Goddess of Goddess and She, and you're tuning in to KBOO Portland. Holla at your girl.
That's 90.7 FM, KBOO. This is The Melting Pot. We've got a very special edition up for you this evening. We have Bounce, Roll, Skate, an event that we're doing a live broadcast from down at Oaks Park Roller Rink. And there's a lot of people down here already. It's a pretty exciting scene going on down here. We're going to be checking in with you periodically, but you can come on down to Oaks Park Roller Rink and check it all out for yourself. Going to get the music rolling. We're doing a funk and disco mashup special this evening. It's going to be going from 7 to 9 p.m., so definitely check in with us along the way, and you can listen to some music along the way as well. If you need more information, give a call to 503-231-8187. Otherwise, we'll see you down here at Oaks Park Roller Rink.
Yeah.